Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm impressed. There's many people the last time I was here. And there sure weren't as many people the first time I was here. Hallelujah. If my brother Mark, who is not here, calculation was right, it was probably 24 or 26 years ago that we came to Nigeria, and him and I came to Uyo. Praise the Lord. Before I get started, I'd like to introduce my wife, Nancy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She is my faithful companion. She is my doctor. She is my nurse. Sometimes she's my psychiatrist. But she is my faithful, loving companion. We have been in many foxholes together. And there is no one that I know who is greater than a firefight than Nancy. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, it is a blessing to be here. A couple thoughts come through my mind. I thank my husband for those kind words. You know, it's like a medicine, kind words. The scripture in Psalms 119 comes to me, and then there's a scripture in Proverbs. May I just read this very quickly? In Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And in Psalms 119, and
verse 10
and 11.
I have to talk right into the
mic. I don't think it's on it.
Just talk loud.
Okay. With my whole heart have I sought thee, oh let me not. Verses 10 and 11. With my whole heart have I sought thee, oh let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, the Israelite people that did not go in the promised land were those that did not believe. There's a trust that God is calling us to in a belief. Because that is our shield. That is our strength. And he says that faith is believing for those things that we hope for that we do not see. So I would encourage us today to put our hope, our faith, our trust in the Almighty God.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Tudoki really gave you the condensed version of our trying to get here. We left Nigeria on the what day was it we left? Nigeria. What day did we leave Nigeria? The 26th. We left Nigeria on the 26th of July. Of August, I'm sorry. Every intention of coming to Uyo, but we took the long way around. We went to Liberia. We went to Sierra Leone. And then we came back from there and we arrived here late last night in Lagos and flew out this morning to meet with you here at this meeting. It's been a non-stop schedule. The Bible says that one should bear the yoke in their youth. So I figure that if all of this is under the yoke, then I must still be pretty young. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, we are living in a very critical time in the economy of God. Things that are in our environments personally and globally. And it really makes no difference which, because quite frankly, we don't have control over any of them. And in that, there is a witness, or there is a word that we can know that the time of the coming of Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer. You could almost say it's almost imminent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know. Do you believe that we're living in the end times? Hallelujah. Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Then I don't have to try to convince you, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I originally came with Brother Dusil back in the late 80s, there was a particular word that God was bringing to you as a people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many of you, I assume, were part of those original groups that we were ministering to. And we continue to come for about 17 or 18 years. We were coming every year, sometimes two times a year, spending 3 to 4 to 5 weeks, which was unusual because there was so much workload on us concerning this word in different places that God was sending us. But we were very much aware of the word of God first to us, that we needed to bring this particular word to you as a people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a direct word that we received that we needed to come and bring this word to Nigeria. I do not know if some of you remember some of the testimony that Brother Dusiel was giving. Hallelujah. But I remember it very clear, almost like it was yesterday. And believe you me, for me, that's good. Because there's not a lot of things that I remember as far as back there are concerned. But we were very much aware of the burden that God was putting on us as a people to come to share this message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there was a brother by the name of Paul Elden. That had come previously to Nigeria. And I think that many of you knew him. And you were very much aware of the love and the concern and the care that he was administering to you as a people. Hallelujah. And that brother was very much concerned with you. And he wanted to see you develop in God. And Brother Elton knew that there was something more in God than what you were getting in the various churches that you were in. Hallelujah. And as he was ministering to you, sharing with you, giving his life for you. Hallelujah. He was developing within you a hunger for the truth of God. Hallelujah. And there were many questions that you had for Brother Elton. Hallelujah. Many questions that you could not answer. That he could not answer. And Brother Elton prophesied the coming of Brother Dusiel. Hallelujah. Because he says, there is one that is coming after me. Who will have the abilities. You were talking to him about the coming of Jesus Christ. The series of events and how it would be and what would happen. Hallelujah. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You can talk to them. They will verify what I am telling you. Hallelujah. So there was a prophecy that brother was giving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't
Hallelujah.
Think you were quite there, son. Amen. Thank you for your willingness, though.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was prophetically speaking of Brother Dusiel coming. He says, there's one coming, and he will be able to answer your question. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, when we originally came in the beginning, Brother and Sister Dusiel, when they heard about Brother Elton, they were making every attempt that they could to meet with him because he was still alive. Hallelujah. But on that, if I remember correctly, on that initial visit, Paul Elton was somewhere else. Hallelujah. I don't remember where he was, but we couldn't hook up. Hallelujah. And the following year, before we could get back, Paul Elton passed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which was a prophetic word to you as a people. Hallelujah. And the prophetic word was that one door was closing and another one was opening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we first came, as usually is the case, hallelujah. I'm not going too fast, am I?
No problem.
All right. Praise God. Sometimes I just forget about you.
No problem.
You just pull on my shirt.
No problem.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we first came, we did not come to you as university students. Hallelujah. When we first came, it was really the full gospel businessmen. Hallelujah. That seemed to want to hear what it was that we had to say. But as they listened to us, and it began to dawn on them that what we were saying was not compatible with what they believed. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you a little bit of your history. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want you to know I'm just not walking in here as a foreigner. I'm not coming to you as another preacher from the stage. Hallelujah. I'm coming to you as a brother. I'm coming to you as a witness. Hallelujah. I'm coming to you because we love you. Hallelujah. I grew up on my spiritual learning here in Nigeria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when we were coming, this full gospel businessmen, they took us in and they wined us and dined us. Hallelujah. Hoping that we would give to them something that was palatable, that would please them, that would edify them, that would build them up, that would push them out. Hallelujah. But when we began to share with them the gospel, and God began to reveal us some of the difficulties that was in and amongst the ministry. Hallelujah. They became a little leery of us. And they decided they didn't really want us that much. Hallelujah. And you know, they were almost glad when God opened the door to the university fellowship. Hallelujah. And that's where we met many of you. Hallelujah. You are somewhat rebellious. You were somewhat independent. You didn't really like what the churches were doing. You didn't know why. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you were starting your own little fellowship. And you just happened to run into the Dusil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said happened. Just happened. It wasn't just happened chance. It was divine appointment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we came. And that started a process of time and coming again and again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, I have to say that I was very impressed with what you were. Hallelujah. Because you really weren't nothing in the natural. You didn't have nothing. You didn't have cars. You didn't have decent clothes. You barely had enough food. And you were lucky to have a roof over your head. Hallelujah. But what you did have that was of the utmost importance was a love for God and a desire to know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you would, and you received us. You gave us what we of your wants. You gave us whatever it is that you have. Hallelujah. And your hunger was unparalleled to any people that we had been anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. And that continued to grow. You began to grow and you began to have your growing pain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't remember what year it was. If it was 2006, I was here before. It must have been somewhere around 2003, 2004, when there was one of my last visits before the Lord took me off the route of traveling. Hallelujah. I was in certain situations, and the Lord spoke to me. And He says, I'm going to put you in prison. And I'm going to put you in prison for 5 years. Hallelujah. And that prison, and that was when that last year, 2003, 2004, maybe 2005. I think it was around 2002 or 3. No, that was not that trip. I'm talking before that. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me a word for the church in Nigeria. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me, I want you to tell them that they have done well in their poverty. Did you hear me? He said they have done well in their poverty. And let me give you a bit of an explanation. Really, nobody had much of anything, and most of you had nothing. But there was a willingness to give of what it was that you had to others. You would support people in their places of need. They did not have housing. You would work it out somehow. They did not have jobs. Hallelujah. I remember there was no jobs. Hallelujah. I think employment was something like 99.999%. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was no jobs, but you were creating jobs. You were creating businesses, and you would all pitch in together to help each other. Hallelujah. And there was a growth, there was a development. So God said to me, say to them, they have done well in their poverty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, and then he said to me, he said, tell them, I hope they do as well in their prosperity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Unfortunately, that is not the case. It seems, you know, I was born in a family that had lots of money. They always had lots of money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And my mom was very lavish with us kids. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there's one thing I found out from my experience. Money does not bring you happiness. Money does not bring you security. Money does not bring you comfort that is lasting. Money does not make you friends that are true friends. And money does not make you preeminent or give you the prestige that you think that it might come, that you might have because of it. But the thing about money is it's temporal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there is a spirit that comes with money. Hallelujah. There is a spirit that comes with money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And believe you me, Okay, the examples I'm giving you aren't examples that I'm taking from the scenario in which you are in. Hallelujah. They are taken from my own personal experience in the community in which I live, and the brethren that I have fellowship with and have worked with as far as this word is concerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first thing that money does is bring division. That's the first thing that money does. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when you start making money, you don't need me anymore. Did you hear me? When you start making money, you don't need me anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you don't have to come and ask me for my advice. And if you have money to do what it is you want to do, if you come to me and ask me for my advice, you don't have to listen to it or follow it. So the first thing that money does is to bring division. Have you seen division? Hello, are you there? Have you seen division? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next thing that money will do is it gives you a false sense of security. Did you hear me? It gives you a false sense of security. Hallelujah. The more money that you have in the bank, the more secure you feel. Hallelujah. Now, it used to be that you were in a cash society. You are now going cashless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It starts with the check that you can write. Hallelujah. 12 years ago, if you would have come with a piece of paper with your name on it, somebody would have used it to start a fire. That's all it was worth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This brings a sort of self-centered, self-worth a feeling of being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The other thing that money will do, it starts developing strange symptoms. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When somebody prospers, all of a sudden, you know what measles or chicken pox is? Do you know the little red bumps? Little red bumps pop up on your skin. I got something wrong with me. Well, there is a measles that comes with money. Did you hear me? Things start popping up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first thing that pops up, the first thing that popped up was a mobile phone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I remember a time when you had no phone. We were in somebody's house and they had a petition into the government. They had a petition into the government for 12 years to have a landline. Hallelujah. And when we came, the government finally granted their petition and they got a phone installed in their house. Hallelujah. But there was a problem. It didn't work. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So things start popping up. The Lord blesses you. And all of a sudden a big screen TV pops up. Hallelujah. And the Lord blesses you again. And all of a sudden your house gets bigger. The Lord blesses you again. And all of a sudden you've got a new car. The Lord blesses you again. And you have another new car. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, brethren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that we should prosper as our soul prospers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see a lot of physical prospering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there seems to be some disparity, some position or place of need in our soul prospering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I first came into this message, I remember it very well. I was 23 years old. I had a wife, I had a family, and we were meeting in my mother's home. And let me tell you how we got there. Hallelujah. I was born in a Southern Baptist home. My mother was Southern Baptist. My dad was just a sinner who tolerated my mother's Southern Baptist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He felt that it was good business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, my dad, he built the Orangeburg Baptist, Southern Baptist Church that we went to. Hallelujah. And you know, my dad was not even a saved man. He spent all of his time in the bars and doing all of those inconvenient things. Okay. Bars, drinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, as a young man, in my 20s, I spent more time going and getting my dad out of the bar. Hallelujah. And taking him home. Hallelujah. But my dad was chairman of the board of the Southern Baptist Church. Hallelujah. Because he had money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He not only was chairman, but he was the one who built the church. And I'll tell you something else. All the deacons of the church, they work for my father. So I'm very well acquainted what goes on in the organized church. I was a little boy of about, maybe 8 years old, 9. And I was working for my dad in his appliance center. Hallelujah. And my job was to push the broom. So I would move from one room to another room in and amongst all of these deacons. Listening to all of their dirty little stories and getting to know all the secrets about what deacons do out the back door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I was grown up in that environment. Hallelujah. And I have to say that my mother, she had a genuine salvation experience with God. Hallelujah. And she got saved in the Baptist church. She made sure that us boys got saved in the Baptist church. Hallelujah. But you see, God outsmarted my mother one day. Because it wasn't in a Baptist church that I got saved. There was a place up in the mountains. And the Baptist people had this convention for young people and children. So they would send you off to this camp in the mountains. They called it Royal Ambassadors. And you know, I can look back on my history and I can see the hand of God shaping and molding my life, getting me ready for the word that was coming down the road. And the name of the park was even ordained of God, because it was called Genesis Park. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it turned out to be a real event for me personally. Hallelujah. Because at the age of 8 years old, I received the Lord in that camp as my personal Savior. Hallelujah. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to jump. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But my mother, thank God, praise the Lord for her tenacity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Got the message of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, she had to move outside of the Baptist locality, because the Baptists did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So she somehow got connected with it. Hallelujah. And so she dragged us boys out of the Baptist church into the Pentecostal church. And it was there in that place that I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I had a tremendous experience of being filled and delivered. Hallelujah. Because I had backslid from about the age of 13 to about 21 or 22. But when I turned 23, I was back with the Lord in the Assemblies of God Church. Hallelujah. I'm just sharing with you my testimony so that you might know who I am and where I come from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one morning, I woke up and I really did not want to go back to church. Hallelujah. So I called my mother up and I said to her, "Mom, I don't feel much like going to service this morning." And my mother said, "You know, son, I don't feel so much. Why don't you come over here and let us have some prayer?" Hallelujah. And you know, in spite of all of mom's shortcuts, and in spite of some of her weaknesses and ignorance in the Word of God, she has led me step by step into a greater reality of God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you mothers with your children. Don't wait till they're up here somewhere. Hallelujah. But from the moment that they're born, you need to begin to teach them about the reality of God and the desire that God has for them as an individual. Hallelujah. And that God wants a personal living relationship with them. Hallelujah. And if you did not do such a good job with your children, then repent to your children and start working on your grandchildren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My wife and I have 7 children, and we have 21 grandchildren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think that qualifies me to be an elder. Isn't that right, brother?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I am involving my children and my grandchildren in this message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
It's important. My oldest son and his second born grandson was with us in the Fort Harcourt youth camp. Hallelujah. And Christopher was his name. That's the grandson. He wrote a tremendous report. It completely surprised me. Hallelujah. And it really gave me an insight into his soul. Hallelujah. The young man is 15 years old. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I better say, Christopher, you better look out. I'm speaking you up. Hallelujah. It's on my website of newhopeinternational.org. If you're interested, you can go there and you can read it. Hallelujah. So it is necessary for us to be teaching our children the importance of the message that we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that Sunday morning we decided to meet at my mother's house. Hallelujah. And there were 5 of us that were going to meet there that morning. There was a little couch, we call it a love seat. It's about from where my wife is sitting to where Brother George is sitting. And we squeezed 5 people into that little space. Hallelujah. I was sitting where Brother George was sitting. And they just went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down to where my wife is presently sitting. Now, I was just newly filled with the Holy Spirit. I did not know too much about prophecy. I did not know too much about the Holy Spirit other than it gives you these silly, funny little feelings. And you get this strange sound that comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah. And I was somewhat embarrassed over that. Hallelujah. So I really wasn't doing too much of it in public. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we were sitting there. I was sitting for Brother George. And as we just sang a few songs and just sitting quietly, and all of a sudden God came down into the room. Hallelujah. And I begin to prophesy. A And in my mind, I'm saying, what is happening?
What's going on?
And I said, well, you better listen to what you're saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it, when they lifted off me, it fell on the next one. Lifted off of me, fell on the next one. All the way down the row until it got to the final person. Hallelujah. And when it had stopped, when it finished, God told us what He wanted us to do, how He wanted us to do it, when He wanted us to do it, how many times He wanted us to do it, and what it was that we were to do in the doing of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we begin to have meetings in our home. And one of the things that God told us is not to advertise. That we were to be still. We weren't to tell people. Now, doesn't that seem strange?
Huh?
Doesn't that seem weird? Hallelujah. A church is supposed to advertise. They're supposed to go out there on the street. Hallelujah. And it's not that I'm opposed to that. But that's not what God told us. Hallelujah. And what He said is that I will bring them to your doorstep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That meeting grew from 5 people to about 70 to 75 people. Hallelujah. People were always knocking on my mother's front door. They came from every place in the United States that you could possibly think. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this was back in the beginning when there was no home fellowship. You did not go to home to fellowship. Hallelujah. You went to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God had called us out of the church. Hallelujah. I had not yet heard the message. Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. Lest ye become a partaker of her plague. I hadn't heard it. I didn't know it was in the Bible. I would have been lucky to find revelation. Hallelujah. And yet God told us in prophecy without communicating one to the other. Hallelujah. I did not say a word to my mother about our dissatisfaction with church. Hallelujah. It was by divine appointment and divine intervention that God moved us into that setting so He could talk to us. Hallelujah. And it was a little bit later down the road, my mother, bless her heart again, she heard about this man up in a town called Stockton, which was an hour and a half north of us from where we live. So she went up there and she heard the man. You know what my mother did? She didn't call us. She didn't consult with us. She didn't talk to us about it. You know what she did? She invited the man to come down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when my mother told me, I said, Mom, for crying out loud, we don't know this guy. We don't know who he is. He might be the devil for all we know. You know, you do run into the devil occasionally. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my. But the man turned out to be Brother Duseal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This was probably back in 1977, 78. Hallelujah. The man came down, and after the first meeting, I knew that we could not let this man leave until we wrung him out like a dish rag. Hallelujah. To get everything out of him we could possibly get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother DeCio had come to the States about a year or so before we met him. And the Lord had said, I'm sending you just before the destruction. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you are watching the news, but the word that Brother DeCio brought concerning the destruction of the U.S. is now unfolding before your eyes. Hallelujah. If you are a witness to it, then it should heighten your spiritual senses, and it should give you a case to be alarmed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's a great deal of animosity and, well, dislike concerning the U.S. But, you know, it makes no difference what your thoughts or your feelings are concerning it. Hallelujah. What should make a difference to you as a people is that the man who brought the word to us is the man that brought the word to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whatever happens to us as a people in the U.S., it is going to set the stage for what happens to you as a people. Not as a people of Nigeria. Not as a people of Nigeria, but as sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, brethren, I was a young man. I had a wife. I had a beginning family. I had a job. It started at 8 o'clock in the morning. It went until 5:30 in the evening, 5 days a week. But I want to tell you, I spent every minute that I could spend over in my mother's home talking to this man. I would go over there before breakfast. I would wake him up out of his bed. We would sit down around my mother's table and we would talk of the things of God and the things that he had been sharing with us from this word. Hallelujah! I would get off work at 5:30. I would watch that clock go like this. And when it got about 2 minutes before 5:30, I was out of my desk going for the time clock. Hallelujah. I would go over there in the evening. Hallelujah. And I would sit at the table and talk with them, and then we would have meeting at 7 o'clock. Every night, Monday through Sunday. Hallelujah. All day Saturday, all day Sunday. Hallelujah. And I would be the last one to leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would to God that we could see that hunger in our young people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe it is my job to excite that hunger, to promote that hunger, and to facilitate that hunger in any way that I possibly can. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! 7 o'clock at night to 10 or 11 o'clock, the crowd would go home. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I did not leave my mother's house before 2 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. Every night. Hallelujah. 7 days a week for 4 weeks. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, as I sat on my chair, hallelujah, and heard the word of God that this man was bringing, hallelujah, something was born in here. Hallelujah. Something indelible of the finger of God, hallelujah, was writing something on the tables of my heart. Hallelujah. And I became aware, hallelujah, of a reality of God that I had never ever experienced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it was the same word then as it is now. Did you hear? It's the same word now that it was then. Hallelujah. I have probably sat under more tabernacle teaching. I have probably been involved with more tabernacle teaching. Hallelujah. And the 30 some plus years, or 38 years or so, that I have been walking under the auspice of this word. Hallelujah. Every time I hear it. Every time I hear it, every time I hear our teacher, something new, and something new in here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I am coming to the reality that it is not food that keeps me alive. I am coming to a reality. Hallelujah. That it's not that it is not glory that's going to keep and sustain you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am coming aware that it is not water that's going to refresh me. Hallelujah. My strength, my vitality, my ability to live in this natural body. Hallelujah. Has to come from this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has to come from this word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there is a word that has been committed to me. And there is a word that has been bequeathed to you as a people. Hallelujah. This word is not given to you to build a bigger church. Hallelujah. This word is not given to you to though that you might prosper in whatever way that you prosper in the natural arena. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are to prosper in the development of this world. Hallelujah. I wish you all could have been at the youth conference. My God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, the Spirit of God came down. Hallelujah. And people were being healed. People were being born again. People were young people being committing their lives again to God. Sukati Shataya. I trust you parents. I trust you parents that as you send your children back, hallelujah, you will not inundate them with the naturalness of the world, and that you dampen and squelch that which God has begun within their soul. Hallelujah. this word.
Ikon.
When I came into this word,
ikon.
We called this word death to self. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
You know something? It doesn't attract crowds.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Amen.
It just attracts people who are tired of living. It just attracts people who have no strength. God bless you, brother. Good to see you. God bless you. Hallelujah. It just doesn't seem to want to. Oh, death to self, church. Oh my. So, you know, we had 75 people. By the time Brother Dusile got finished with us, we were lucky to have 12 people. And the majority of the 12 were family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I had have church in my home for over 25 years. Hallelujah. And the group turns over. Hallelujah. And you sit there and you think, what am I doing? Do I need deodorant? What's wrong? Do I look good or what's wrong? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, of that turning over, we would get somewhere around 15 to 20 to 25 people. Hallelujah. And not all at the same time. Not all at the same time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God was faithful. When they would join together, the word of God would come down. And the word of God would go out. And we would eat the food of God. Be energized. Be strengthened. Hallelujah. And get up and go out and be ready to die some more. Hallelujah. Out of that turning over of those groups, there was always one or two that turned over with us. I don't know if you know too much about how to mine for gold the way that they do it in the States. They used to do it. When the gold was in the stream, they had a pan that looked like a wok, only it was a shallow bottom pan that had sides of slope. They would dip down in the water, and then they would swirl and shake the water, and the water would get the debris, get the loose gravel and things, and it would wash it over the edge. Wash it over the edge. And by the time the pan got empty, down in the bottom were those little bitty gleaming nuggets of gold. Hallelujah. You see, God wasn't after the crowd. He wasn't after the sand. He wasn't after the chaff. Hallelujah. He was after those little tiny nuggets of gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, that doesn't look like much. You can spend hours doing this. Hours. And just come up with a little bitty pinch of gold. Hallelujah. But when you take that little bitty pinch and put it into another pinch and another pinch and another pinch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, you end up with a lot of gold. Hallelujah. So, but the depth of self-message, hallelujah, it's not really attractive, so we decided to change it. Hallelujah. Now, I have to tell you, brethren, I don't know if you are aware of it, but whether it happened here or not, but it was something that happened in Europe, and it was something that was happening in the States, and it's part of your heritage in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was something called the movement of the Holy Spirit that began to enter or invade the denominational realm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it didn't make any difference if you were a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian. Hallelujah. Or even if you are a Catholic. People were getting saved and they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And the funny thing about it was, they didn't run to tell their pastor. They started talking to each other. And they decided to have little home meetings and prayer meetings. Hallelujah. And the movement began to become so great, so big, that it frightened the devil. So he went to the major denominations to form committees to study the movement. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Because the church did not have what they now call cell groups. They didn't have it. They did not have it before the charismatic movement. Hallelujah. But they were, the devil was frightened. They were outside of their control. They were outside of their supervision. Hallelujah. And so they decided that they needed to send out their representative to investigate it. Hallelujah. There was a woman that came to our door. She had been from the Episcopal Church. She had been given a year sabbatical to go around investigating home fellowship. Hello? How she found me, I don't know. But one day she knocked on my mother's door. Hallelujah. And it was not too long after that they began to invent and develop these cell groups. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they began to work and bringing in overseers. They called them lay ministers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, they weren't quite bold enough to call them elders. So they gave them a terminology that could not be equated to an independent position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this is all documented on the internet. You can go on there if you want to. Hallelujah. And find all this kind of information that you want. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the history of how devil and church work together. Hallelujah. You know how the devil kills a move of the Spirit? You know how he kills it? He organizes it. Did you hear me? He brings in organization. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I didn't get too many amens on that one. Hallelujah. You may not want me to come back when I'm finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the last 3 years, I have gone into more denominational churches in the last 3 years than I have in the whole 25 years that I've been alive before that. Hallelujah. Because when God called me out, He said to me, and I said, what about my brethren? Because there were some brethren that I loved. They were in the church. It was an old Pentecostal gentleman who, when everybody else gave up, who prayed me through the baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, what about my brethren? And God said to me, one day, I will send you back into those denominational structures. Hallelujah. And you know, brethren, it grieves me to see God's people. I mean, it grieves me right down to my toenail to see God's people subjugated to a religious attitude and environment that just brings them more and more and more and more down into the devil. Hallelujah. 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 So God is now moving. That word that God gave me was over 36 years ago. And it began to come to pass about 3 years ago. Hallelujah. We have been going into Ethiopia much in the same way that we have been going into Nigeria. Hallelujah. But the difference is, that's for the last 7 years. Some of the brothers here in Nigeria were going, and then we were coming in through some other contacts. Hallelujah. And we've been going. About 3 years ago, my wife and I made a decision. We decided that we needed to spend more time. So we began to extend our stay. Month and a half, 2 months. Month and a half, 2 months. Two, maybe three times a year. Hallelujah. And now we're looking at the possibility in going back and staying for an indefinite period of time. Hallelujah. Because God is doing something in that land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place, there is a responsibility. And there is an expectation that God has concerning you and the word that He has given you. Hallelujah. It's not how you see it. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. It is how He views it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is how and what His expectations of you and I are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are responsible. Hallelujah. So we were calling this message death to self. But that wasn't growing the people. And we felt frustrated. We felt a little disappointed. So we decided to change the name. We decided to call it the Sons of God message. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? You could put a big sign up here, Sons of God's Church. Hallelujah. And everybody's going to come running. Everybody wants the preeminence. Everybody wants the prominence. Everybody wants the power. Oh yes, we got the power. Huh? Hallelujah. We can dance. We can clap. Hallelujah. 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 But in spite of what we were calling ourselves, our power became less. The darkness became greater. Hallelujah. 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 Let me ask you a question. Do you really think things are getting better? If you don't think things are getting better, you must think things are getting worse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we called ourselves Sons of God. Oh yes, and we begin to talk about the 144,000. We begin to talk about the two witness company. Oh yes, hallelujah, two witness, fire coming out of our mouth. Hallelujah, ruling and reigning with God, hallelujah. Oh yes, I'm going to sit on his right hand and you're going to sit on his left hand. Hello.
Amen.
We talk about first fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was in a conference here several years ago. I was sitting in the back row. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I was just sitting down there. And there was this young man. He was ministering this Sons of God word. Hallelujah. And he was ministering the Sons of God word to a tabernacle people. But as I listened to the man, I became aware that there was something wrong. Oh yes. He was talking about sons of God. He was using different illustrations out of the word. Talking about Samson in his place of strength and vitality. His ability and anointing of God to tear down the temple of Dagon. Hallelujah. He began to talk about the two witness company. He began to talk about the ruling and reigning of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all the people's heads were bobbing. Have you seen these little statues? They have these little things in the States. You put them in the back of your window. It's a little figurine, a man or a woman. And its head goes like this every time the car. Every time you hit a bump, the thing goes just like this.
Huh?
Like this. Then the congregation was going like this. And every time they would say, go down, they say, amen! And then they say, ruling and reigning, amen! Hallelujah. Fire, fire coming out of their mouth, amen! You know, I don't think we're isolated. I'm sitting in the back of the church and I'm looking And something begins to well up inside of me. And I'm saying, oh God, where is the discernment? Where is the Spirit of God? The eyes to see, the ears to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, it was after this that my wife had a dream. And in the dream, God explained to us what was happening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm sitting back there and I'm saying, God, we are in big trouble. Now, brethren, I'm sitting in a congregation as one of the fundamental congregations that has supported this word, that has been involved with the expenditures of themselves to propagate this word all around the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in some essence, you're talking about the core unit of the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the spirit of lethargicness, laziness. Hallelujah. The spirit of denominationalism. Hallelujah. The spirit of organization. Hallelujah. Oh, they believed in multiple elders. But they didn't have elders in the sense of elders. They had elders who were in the sense of pastors. Hallelujah. 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 In 1948, up in Saskatchewan, Canada, hallelujah, there was a small group of people who had gathered together to pray. Hallelujah. And as they began to pray, and they were asking for a visitation for God, there were about 9 or 10 men who came in on this praying movement of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No revival starts without prayer and intercession. I'm not talking about every Wednesday night. I'm not talking about Friday night. I'm talking about continual prayer and intercession and fasting. Not because you just want more of God, but because you want the God that is God to be preeminent in your life. Hallelujah. No revival will come to a people unless one person, hallelujah, begins to recognize the jeopardy that they are in. Hallelujah. Because of the coldness of their heart. Hallelujah. And as that group began to pray, hallelujah. You know what year it was? 1948. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it wasn't only that God's Spirit fell down on that village, that town, and upon those men, one of which was William Branham, and another one was Clay Sanmore. And you don't know him possibly, but another one was Demas Chikarian. Hallelujah. You know who he is? If you're full gospel, you know who he is. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And do you know that Brother Duciel got his anointing in 1948? And do you know that Israel became a nation in 1948? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So So the 1948 revival, hallelujah, wasn't just for that group of men. But you know how God killed it? Huh? You know how the devil killed it? Thank you. Huh? You know how the devil killed it? He got it organized. You know what it became? Full gospel businessmen fellowship. William Branham. On a platform down in Anaheim, California, where he was the designated speaker. That auditorium was probably three times as big as this. And it was packed to the wall. Hallelujah. He got up to speak. He turned around to Brother Clayt Sunmore and he said, "Brother Clayt, it's going to be what it's going to be." Hallelujah. And he turned around and he walked off the platform. And he walked out the door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. Full gospel you got now, they would even be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They would be ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God delivered the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I saw these people in that congregation. And I said, My God, what is wrong with us? Why don't we hear? Why don't we see? And God spoke a word, just as clear as a bell. He said, "My people, they do not know me." Hallelujah. It scared me. It scared me. Not just for the sake of the people, but my own heart, my own condition. It scared me. Hallelujah. And I went home that night with a heavy burden, praying. And it was after that, I believe, that the Lord gave my wife a dream. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in the dream, she was talking to the wife of this young man. And they are a very charismatic couple, seemingly full of life, have experience, have a history. But in the dream, they were carrying their house with them, right? And everywhere they would go, they would set the house down, and it would incorporate the people or incorporate the situation. You can correct me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But, and she said to my wife, "We can do this as long until we put the roof on it." Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My goodness. We are in trouble. We are in trouble as a people. concerning the message that has been delivered to us. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, the Lord is going out to the highways and the byways. Oh, yes, you can say. But, you know, going out to the highway, I want to make sure that I'm out there with him. I don't want to be left behind as he goes out. Hallelujah. I want to read a scripture to you. I want the one saying lukewarm. Revelation. Huh? Verse what? 3:16. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation. That's Revelation 3:14. I know thy works, and that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert hot or cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I went when after this incident, my wife and I spent a great deal of time in prayer over it, and I began to feel that the Lord was telling me to run. Now, I'm involved in a business. I have been since early, about 6 years, 7 years. I was farming about 50 acres of ground. We had built up a fairly good clientele. I had equipment. I had greenhouses. I also owed a lot of money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We had a restaurant that we were serving health food in. We had a health food store. And basically, it was me and my wife. Hallelujah. That were running the whole affair. So we were tied up. Hallelujah. Or I should say, tied up, tied down. Hallelujah. But we believe that God said for us to run. Hallelujah. So we made a decision. She said, you know, you run with it and I'll stay by the stuff. Hallelujah. This was in 2009. Hallelujah. And I began to run. I began to go and run. Hallelujah. And I ran. And I ran. And I ran. Africa, United States, Philippines, all over the world, telling people Jesus is coming. This is the situation. This is the circumstances. Hallelujah. Much in the same way of the in what Brother Clay said, showing the house to the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you I have picked up his mantle. I am telling you I am running with the message that God spoke to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In that his people do not know him. Hallelujah. We are more interested in the political correctness of church than we are in knowing. than we are in knowing the literal actuality of His being. Hallelujah. 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 So I begin to run. Hallelujah. And at the end of, it was the end of
2009,
we closed the restaurant. I believe. Huh? Yes. Well, it was December, January. I decided to close the restaurant. Now, brethren, these are not easy decisions to make. Hallelujah. Not because we were making a lot of money, because I owed a lot of money. Hallelujah. Because we did not make the best, we did not go into the venture to make money. We went into the venture because God told us to do it. And the only way that I could do it, and the only tool that I had to do it with, is a credit card. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? That's the only way I could do it. Hallelujah. And there were many lives of young people that were coming through the farm, that were coming through the operation of the store. And their lives were being touched. Their lives were being changed. Hallelujah. Many of the young people from the fellowship in Czech would come for the summer. Hallelujah. And we would teach them retail. We would teach them restauranting. We would teach them farming. Hallelujah. But we were also teaching them God. Hallelujah. 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 And at the end of 2009, the beginning of 2010, I determined that I was going to close the restaurant because the demand of traveling was getting greater. Hallelujah. In 2010, I think I must have traveled somewhere close to 180,000 miles. Hallelujah. But I said it was too much of a load for my wife, the restaurant part of it. So I just decided to close it down. And you know something? God made up the difference. God made up the difference. Hallelujah. And we were thinking that we need to shut the store down. We need to shut that aspect, get out of the business completely. Hallelujah. Now, in the interim, there is the farming aspect of all of it. Hallelujah. The greenhouses and the equipment and the poultry business that we have. Hallelujah. I just decided to give all of the assets away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God again comes down and makes a way. Hallelujah. But you see, now we got a dilemma. I'm in a 3-year lease on the premises. Hallelujah. It has a $25,000 price tag on it a year. I go to my landlord. I said, "Will you let me out of my lease?" He says, "No." I told my wife, "All right. God will just have to make another way." Now, all of a sudden, the economy collapses. And who's going to want to buy a restaurant in a little farming community? Huh? That doesn't get a lot of traffic. Who's going to want to buy it? Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, God sent us somebody. Hallelujah.
God sent us somebody in June of 2010. A man walked into our store. He said, "I'm interested in buying your place. I'm interested in buying it. Would you sell it to me?" Hallelujah. We said, "Well, we don't own it. I have a lease. And the man isn't willing to let me out of my lease." I said, "And the lease is such and such and such. Would you be willing to take over the lease if the landlord accepts it?" He said, "Absolutely." Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you, on the basis of the word that God gave me concerning the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God got in June of 2010. Hallelujah. God, we were out. We were clear. We were free. And we began to travel together as we could and began to move in accordance to that word. You know, I tried many times to come back to Nigeria. The only time that God let me come back was briefly. Briefly in 2000 and when, was it 10? We came in 2010. Was that the conference that we had to be smuggled out of the country? 2009. We tried to come in 2009. At that time, Port Harcourt was having a lot of difficulties with kidnappings and all of that. And we had every intention of going and staying for the whole time frame. But God alerted us to a plot to kidnap us while we were there. Hallelujah. And so we only really got to spend 2 days or one and a half. Hallelujah. But we did show our faces. Hallelujah. And then we came back in 2010, a conference in Port Harcourt. But we tried to come back in 11, but God said no. Hallelujah. And it was not until the beginning of 2011. Hallelujah. I always go to God at the end of the year. And I said, what word would you like to give me for this coming year? And one of the things he spoke to me is that I want you to go back to Nigeria. I said, "Okay. Are you sure?" "Are you sure you want me to go?" Hallelujah. He said, "Yes." So we were praying about it and looking to the Lord. And out of that prayer and out of that supplication came the burden and the direction that God had given us to begin to write to you and to explain to you as to what it was that God had given us to do. Hallelujah. And I believe that we are coming at a critical time. A critical time. Do you hear me, brethren? Hallelujah. We are at the road of decision. One of the words that come with this end time word of that my people do not know me. And God was talking to me about the Holy Place Church. The outer court has been given to the Gentiles. It is not the outer court church that God is dealing with now. It is the holy place people. It's the holy place people who have the word concerning God tabernacling with man. It involves the people who are designated by God and the revelation of the word of God that they will be a part of the third temple, the third and final temple. Did you hear me? Final temple. Hallelujah. There's not going to be another church after this church. Hallelujah. 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 I do not know if you understand the jeopardy that we as a people stand in. I do not know if you are cognizant of how God looks at us as a people. But what I can tell you is that God is not very happy with us as a people in the aspect of how we are handling the word that He has given us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the invitation was sent out for the wedding feast, it was first brought to the princes, to the nobles. It was brought to the sons of God people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible, when it talks in the New Testament of the five wise and the five foolish, five were in, five were out. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Five were in, five were out. Hallelujah. And the indictment against them was that they did not know Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the group of believers came to God to have access into the kingdom, God says, "I don't know you." He says, "They said, did we not cast out demons in thy name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not do all the things that Pentecostals do? Did we not have the authorities that having the Holy Spirit gives us?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, "I do not know you." Hallelujah. He's not talking to heathens. He's talking about people who sit in congregation. He's talking about you and I who have a Bible. He's talking about you and I who have a word from God. But he's talking to a people who have the word of God, but they are denying the power of that word that they have to change them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, brother, this is serious business. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In August of 2011, I was getting on a plane. I was leaving my one of the communities there near my home where the airport is. I was sitting on a chair waiting for them to call the announcement. And I felt this heavy burden come down on my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's so heavy, so unbearable. Hallelujah. And it almost makes me want to weep. Hallelujah. And I'm asking God, what's the matter? Why do I feel this way? What is this grief? And I begin to think, maybe I'm going to die. I'm not coming back. Isn't it funny how we always think about ourselves first? Hallelujah. Isn't it funny? Hallelujah. Is somebody in my family or close association going to die? Hallelujah. I felt so bad and so grievous that I tried to call several people. Hallelujah. Without too much success. Hallelujah. But you know, this feeling lasted for several days. About the third day, it dissipated. And I just put it on the shelf. I figured that God would tell me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my God. I came home from that trip the end of August. And I opened my computer and I went on the news. And I began to read about what happened there in Benghazi. Were you aware of it?
Huh?
It was where the rebel forces went in and they killed the ambassador Stevens and several of his bodyguards. And as I begin to read the account of it, now I'm getting in on the tail end of it, you understand. This is after it was done. All the hoopla that was made over it. And where nothing was done about it. And that feeling that I had in the airport began to come back upon me again. And the Lord said to me, the grief that you felt is the grief that you're feeling now, and it is the death of a nation. I'm telling you what God told me. Now, I don't know how you would feel about your Nigeria, but some of you can possibly relate. And the thought of death was in actuality what my discernment was in the beginning. But I was taking it personally for something personal. Hallelujah. But God was telling me that grief was something outside of personal. It's something much more bigger and encompassing a great deal more. Hallelujah. And the clarity really came through in the Word as I was talking to some brethren on the phone that night.
The Lord spoke to me. He said, it's the knelling of a bell that tolls the death of a nation. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are living in the end times. You may not think that what happens over there, thousands of miles away, may not affect you in any great way. It isn't a nation. It's a spirit that wants to kill and eradicate every existence and knowledge of God. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Possibly as God gives us the liberty, we will be able to go on in the meetings to come. But God is calling us to task. He is expecting from us to see the reality of our jeopardy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you as a nation are switching your financial resource. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The global resource concerning money has always been based upon the U.S. dollar. But with the devaluation of the U.S. dollar and the eroding of the economic value of the nation and the eroding of the confidence in that value, and the erosion of the integrity of the belief in the government of that nation, you are moving to another source. You are being maneuvered. You are being manipulated. Hallelujah. I don't know what your thoughts are about it. But I would not put my money in a bank that belongs to China. And if you don't wake up with regards to your spiritual position of responsibility, you will wake up too late. Too late. Do you hear me? Too late. Brethren, you don't have control over your power. You don't have control over the water. You don't have control to go where you want to go unhindered or unharassed. You can be stopped at any moment, pulled out of your car, and arrested. There is nothing in the economy of this world that you have control over. Nothing. The only control that you have, the only position of safety that you can obtain to, is the reality of what is written in this book and the reality that is in you because of it.
And let me tell you something else. They're going to take that away from you. They're already taking it away from you. They are just printing Bibles. And they are Bibles in name only. Hello? They are working to stop printing the King James Bible. You have a responsibility to pray, to intercede, to bind, to rebuke, to repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they took it away from us once, you know. They took it away in the 13, 14, 15, 1600s. Hallelujah. And that era of time became known as the Dark Ages. Hallelujah. They're not going to call it Dark Ages this time. They're going to call it the Age of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. God bless you.